It seems to me when we look back at early Christianity, those early decades, the first few decades of Christianity, as we look at the scriptures that tell us something about that early time, you know, it's important for us to remember that for those first few decades of Christianity, there was no New Testament. There was the Hebrew Scriptures. But these early Christians began to live their lives trying to follow what they believed Jesus was about, and they began to remember the stories and the parables and the things about Jesus' life that were important to them. And those things that they remembered were the stories that gave their lives meaning. And it let them know what they were about and who they were to become. Those were the scriptures. Eventually, those stories that they remembered began to be written down. And eventually, within the first few decades, all the way up to about the year 100 AD, those scriptures came together. And so when we look at the scriptures, they can tell us a little something about the people who told those stories. And why did they tell those stories? Why did they hold on to those stories and write them down? They must have been important to them. Just like I'm sure in your own families, you all have stories about your families that we tell and we retell. They remind us who we are. We also have stories we don't tell and retell. But most of them that we tell us who we are. And I think it's very difficult to look at those scriptures and to look at those early decades of the Christian tradition and not see a people who felt really called to be transformed in their lives and to be a transforming presence in the world. You know, wherever you see Jesus, he is either preaching, teaching, healing, doing miracles, spending time with people, eating meals, and in the midst of that, inviting people, certainly as individuals, to see themselves as God sees them. He's calling them to see this created world as God sees it. And to be part of the process to get it from where it is to where it can be. I really feel that's a big part of what Christianity is about, this engagement with the world, this entering into the world, this need for all of us to engage and bring about a transforming presence in our world today as well as in our lives. But somewhere along the line, in the history of Christianity, and I could share some ideas where and how I think this happened, but not for my purpose today. Somewhere along the line, rather than Christianity being this invitation to be transformed and transform the world, Christianity became this kind of evacuation plan for the next world. You know, this kind of, come with us, we'll get out of this. You know, believe these things, follow these teachings, and you'll be saved. Come on the ship with us and be saved. Are you saved? That language somehow does not speak to me and never has. And many in our Christian community today use that language. And yet I struggle with that language because it really doesn't speak to me. I don't think the Christian message is one of, are you saved? Get on the rescue ship and disengage. But rather, I think the Christian message that we see from Jesus in the early scriptures, in the early church, is more of a teaching of engagement with the world and being a transforming presence in the world, not trying to escape the world. I think when we look at somehow at Christianity as some sort of an evacuation plan to the next world, solely that, we begin to disengage from those around us. We begin to not really be in dialogue with anybody. If you're not with us, you're against us. It can lead to that. Now, I think many of you know me enough to know that I am not an either-or person. I tend to be a very strong both this and that. So in sharing these thoughts, I'm not talking about an either-or. It's just when things get out of balance, lots of things can happen that we can miss the power of what Jesus is calling us to. I don't see Christianity as an evacuation plan. I see Christianity as a challenge and a call to engage in the world and transform it and our lives as well. And that to me is what that reading from Jeremiah is saying to us. Again, just to kind of put that in context, Jerusalem was an incredible city. The scriptures tell us it was just an incredible area. This temple of Jerusalem was a holy place. People lived in this city and followed their customs and their rituals and their ways of being. It gave their lives meaning. It gave them a sense of belonging. It gave them a sense of understanding the world around them. And I would imagine, no matter where they were in Jerusalem or even on the outskirts of Jerusalem, they could look into the distance and see this grand temple that sat on the hill. And they felt good about that. Because for many of those Jewish, the people in the Jewish tradition, they believed that that's where God dwelt. That's where you encountered God. That's where you prayed to God. That's where we met God. And around 597 BC, BCE, before the Common Era, the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. Just decimated it. The temple was destroyed. The city was destroyed. Everything they knew was destroyed. And not only was it destroyed, but the people were taken by the Babylonians into exile, referred to as the Babylonian exile. They were taken to Babylon. So imagine these people living in a foreign land, a foreign culture, a foreign language, a place they don't even know and don't want to be in, a sense that their God is not with them, their temple has been destroyed, their whole meaning system has been sort of uprooted. And they're almost paralyzed. You could picture them being paralyzed, not knowing what to do. And that's the message of Jeremiah today in that first reading. And it's a powerful message. The words are so simple, but it's a powerful message. What does Jeremiah say to these people who are feeling a sense of disengagement, alienation, loneliness, confusion, lack of meaning, loss of God? Jeremiah says, build houses, grow crops, raise your families, have children, pray. Imagine hearing that, pray. How can we pray in a foreign land? How can we pray in this place without the temple? But Jeremiah is challenging them to engage where they find themselves and to discover God present where they find themselves and to live their life. And he refers in that reading to not praying just for themselves, but for the people around them, for the people they come into contact with and who they live with in the midst of this foreign place. That to me is a very powerful message. Jeremiah is not offering an evacuation plan. Jeremiah is not saying stick to your guns and stay together and just we'll get you out of this. But rather what he's saying is engage where you are. Be who you are, what you were in Jerusalem. Be a people in Babylon. And engage with the people around you. Discover God in your life and be transformed and be a transforming presence in the world. I think that's a powerful, powerful message. And it's something for us to heed, I think, as well. Cary is not exactly Babylon. We may not feel like we are in exile, although there may be some who are. There may be some who come from such a different culture and different place that this can be a challenging place to live. But many of us don't experience that. We may still feel rooted to where we've come from. And I think so many of us here are not from here. And for those of us who are not from here, we tend to bring our stories with us and our anecdotes with us. And we tease each other and it reminds us who we are. As I said earlier, I'm a big New York Yankee fan. And you either hate the Yankees or you love the Yankees. But for me, it's a reminder of my childhood. It's a reminder of where I grew up. It's a reminder of New York. And we tease about that. And we all have our stories. We all have our memories. We all have, whether it's sports, whether it's the arts, whether it's a place, whether it's stories, things that we share and tell as we engage with each other and hopefully sometimes tease each other as we go forward. And so we perhaps don't feel as exiled or alienated, but I would propose that we can experience the exile of Babylon in other areas of our lives. Perhaps there are areas of our lives where our meaning is breaking down, where we're beginning to be confused. Perhaps we do feel an exile in some parts of our lives. Perhaps in our careers. Perhaps in our families. Perhaps in a marriage that isn't going the way you hoped. Perhaps in a breakup of a relationship. Perhaps in raising children and the challenges and struggles as they get older. Perhaps one wonders, what am I doing? This isn't making sense. I feel like my meaning is gone. Where is God in this? What is happening to me? And I think the message of Jesus is not an evacuation plan. I'll get you out of this. But rather the message I hear of Jesus is to engage with that, to live into that, to walk into it and through it and beyond it and experience the transformation. And we're not expected to do it alone, but to do it in community, to be together and to share our lives, to walk out of our own exiles and to be transformed by that. And be sensitive to the exiles and Babylons of other people, and to be that presence in the world. So as we gather together today, I'm not interested whether you're saved. I am interested in your Babylon, your exiles, and the challenge we have to be transformed people. We come together today to this table to celebrate a transformation. We believe that simple bread and wine is changed into the body and blood of Jesus. It becomes a God's presence to us, a transformation that's called to transform our lives. And we transform our lives by going forth, in the words of Jeremiah, living our lives, building houses, raising crops, raising families, praying to God, living our lives. It's in the day-to-day experiences of life. We come here for an hour or so a week, but most of our faith life is lived as we go out into the world. Let us be that transforming presence in the day-to-day, everyday experiences of our lives and bring about the wonder of God's creation in our world today.